You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Friday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Friday division. For a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. Thanks for listening wherever you are. Merry Christmas. To all you Christmas people out there. Happy holidays to everybody else. And if you celebrate nothing, what's up? Not sure what we're going to talk about today. Honestly, the events of the last 72 hours are stunning. And so that's what we'll talk about. The announcement yesterday. So on the show yesterday morning, in fact, if you go to the All Marine Radio website and you click on the podcast page, the opening hour yesterday is entitled News and Commentary, The Silence from John Bolton and the Pentagon on the Subject of Syria is Deafening. And I speculated, would you haven't heard any of those guys speak? Would any of them resign? And so I guess we got the answer to that not too many hours later, yesterday afternoon, when the Secretary of Defense handed his resignation, went over to the White House for a meeting at 3 o'clock Eastern time. After that meeting, went back to the Pentagon, had a meeting with his staff at 5 o'clock Eastern time, and told them of his resignation, and then released that. So we'll talk about that today. The chef's going to join us in the second hour. And then I don't know what we're going to do in the third hour yet. Gunner's on vacation. Yeah, he's headed up to the Rocky Mountains to enjoy Christmas up there. So we'll figure out something to do. We'll start the program before I get into talking about the Secretary of Defense, but I will start the whole thing with this. I was born 1957. I was 11 in 1968, living in California, about 68 miles from Oakland, Berkeley, and all that craziness. Never in my life have I had, and then I was, a teenager during Watergate. Never in my life did I have the feeling that I had yesterday. And the feeling I had yesterday was that our nation was fundamentally doing something wrong. It was letting down the rest of the world. That there was no explanation for it. And I was unsettled. And I use that word because That was the word that was in my head, and that was when I felt. And then I saw, of all people, Nancy Pelosi using that word. And I thought, shit, the world is upside down. When Nancy Pelosi is describing my feeling, something's wrong. And so, but that's the truth. That's the truth. The men that I know that have served in that administration, I worked elbow to elbow with Secretary Mattis, General Kelly, and General Dunford. All three of them. Got a chance to watch them work on a daily basis. They are, one, outstanding human beings. They will give you the shirt off their back if that's what you need. Two, they're smarter than hell. Three, they have a ton of experience in crises, in leadership, in being a human being. They have a ton of it. And to watch them use that on a daily basis was just one of the greatest experiences of my life in Iraq in 2004. And the way I got the job that I got working for General Mattis was I had worked for General Kelly in Quantico in 1990. And I was on the division staff working in plans, in the plan section. And he walked in one day and said, I've got another job for you. I said, what? He said, yes, come with me. So I went to work for General Mattis. Now, I've often said on this program that our current president leaves much to be desired. His administration, I think, has policies that are appropriate for the country as a conservative person. The president, though, he's a different issue. Comforting, though, I think all of us, or at least many of my friends, and I think a lot of people, were that you had people of the caliber of Secretary Mattis, General Kelly, General Dunford in the administration. People that we had seen under great duress do great things and not flinch, and you know that that's what's going to happen. So, where are we as a nation when you have not seen all week the president's national security advisor, who every time he speaks of Syria says, we're not leaving as long as the Iranians are there? The president didn't listen to his national security advisor, didn't listen to his secretary of defense, didn't listen to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. In fact, according to a report I saw yesterday, the reason, and again, the Iraqis taught me something important in 2004. You're a fool if you believe in coincidences. If you're seeing it, it's because somebody wants you to see it. So, under that broad heading, it was a coincidence that, during the Army-Navy game 2 weeks ago, that the president announced that General Milley would be replacing General Dunford. He made the announcement 10 months early. According to news reports yesterday, that was a shot at the Secretary of Defense because of his relationship with General Dunford. He knows they're close. So in order to stick his finger in Mattis's eye, he said Milley will take over for Dunford and lame ducks Dunford. Anyway, yeah, people say, well, we don't really know why that happened. Well, evidently we do. So we'll talk about that, right? And I'd say, though, the first question and the most fundamental question is, who made this decision? If it wasn't his national security advisor, if it wasn't, you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, if it wasn't the Secretary of Defense, if it wasn't the you haven't seen Mike Pompeo either, Secretary of State, You've seen none of them. Who made this decision? Where did it come from? A decision that will change the face of the Middle East and impact every one of the people that threw in with us, that are in the Middle East, our allies that went over there with us, in conjunction with us. Who made this decision? So, we'll talk about that. And a whole bunch of other stuff. So, good morning to you on a Friday. And again, honestly, and I had people calling me all yesterday afternoon, texting me, and the word scary was used repeatedly in either conversations or text messages. The phrase, this shit is scary. Because he doesn't know what he's doing. So, anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll pull it apart here. So, good morning to you. Merry Christmas to everybody on that note. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem this morning. Don't be afraid to say a prayer for your country. Dedicated to the Secretary of Defense. He'll be in that position until February 28th of 2019. We all respect his integrity and his service. And so this is dedicated to him and all the people that have served in the Trump administration that on a daily basis go in there and try to put lipstick on a pig. So, but today this is dedicated to James N. Mattis, Secretary of Defense, United States Marine Corps retired.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather in Marineland today. Cloudy and 58 in Quantico. All the weather advisories are gone. At Camp Lejeune, it's warmed up. Mostly cloudy and 67. In Granbury, Texas, it's mostly sunny and 43. 29 Palms, clouds and 48. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 46. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 70 degrees. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, where are those Marines going to go away to? Anyway, cloudy, dark, and 56 in Iraq. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, clear, dark, and 50 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, cloudy and 56. Looking for a high today of 68 beautiful degrees. That is a look at your weather. We won't take a break because we've got shit to talk about. So who made that decision? Right? Not in consultation with our allies. Not in consultation with his national security team. Did he make it by himself? I mean, that should scare the living shit out of all of us, regardless of who the Secretary of Defense is. If that guy is making that decision, you've got to be kidding me. And, you know, it's just what's unsettling about it. Okay? I mean, if that isn't, I mean, first of all, like, hello, that's unsettling enough. And we'll get to that. But yesterday and the day before, the Senate went home after consultation with the president, and he told them that the wall funding, he wasn't going to shut the government down over it. Okay? So they passed their bill, and they largely left town. Or were told, yeah, we're probably going to be. And then he got it handed to him, right, over the last few days, because the stories were written as, yeah, the president's not going to require that. He's not going to shut the government down for it. And then the blowtorches came out. Ann Coulter just ripped his ass, right? Rush Limbaugh just scorched him. Then he calls, what, a dozen members, 15 members of the House in and says, I'm not signing it. And you're watching this and you're like going, what's going on? Right? Now, this comes on the heels of, you know, the chief of staff leaving. Normally, the way we do this in an organization that has a tight operation is, hey, Kelly just told me he wants to quit. Or, hey, I'm going to fire Kelly. One of the two. Okay? It leads me to believe that Kelly quit because there was no replacement ready. Normally, when you're going to fire somebody or let somebody go, you're going to say, you walk in and say, hey, you're fired. He's already hired. Got it done. Anyway, that wasn't done. And then everybody who was rumored to be the favorite in the job, they all took their names out of it. Chris Christie, Mike Pence's chief of staff. They all said, yeah, I need to spend quality time with my family, which is code for I'm not going near that shit. So you have that, right? Then you have the Syrian announcement. And then everybody's trying to scrambling. You don't hear from Bolton. You don't hear from Mattis. You don't hear from Dunford. You don't hear from Pompeo. Nobody says shit over the course of what? Now 72 hours after the president tweeted this. And then you have on the heels of that, you have this, yeah, he's not going to require it, and then about face. And the trend, right, is scary, to say the least. And it also comes on the heels of the Michael Flynn stuff and the rest of it. So I think a legitimate question to ask is some of this simply to change the narrative? He was getting killed. Headlines, president's an unindicted co-conspirator. And that came out of Fox News, for God's sakes. I mean, I think by any judgment, Donald Trump is a liar. Right? By any standard, he plays by rich guy rules, and he always has. And he simply tells another lie, moves on to the next thing, and the next big hotel, the next big project, blah 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 blah. Problem is, in the government, you can't do it like that. He's trying to, and that Twitter account helps him. He goes direct. So, let me get to the Secretary of Defense. So, but let me tell you, the most disturbing thing is that the United States of America is a big deal around the world. Our stability, the way we do business, what we stand for, is important around the world. And I think until you get outside of it, until you get around a bit, you don't really recognize that. But the United States is a big deal. It is the leader of the free world. And when you have somebody do something, the President of the United States do something so unhinged, is that the right word? So something so out there, not in consultation with your allies, not in consultation with your partners on the ground, not in consultation with your national security apparatus. That's how the decision gets made? The whole world is blindsided by this? That's straight up scary shit. I want to play Lindsey Graham's comments. I want to play some comments Jack Keane had when he's asked about it. And then I want to read General Mattis's letter. And then I want to talk about second and third order effects as we kind of get going here. So this is Senator Lindsey Graham. I promise you. Oh. It was Lindsey Graham. It will be Lindsey Graham here in a second. So he was asked, and he was pissed. I mean, and I think he had the same reaction that a lot of people around the country have. Is, what in God's name is going on? So here he is.
President Obama, if you leave now, the radicals that are still around are going to regenerate, and all the people that helped us in Iraq, a lot of them died. Same thing's going to happen in Syria. This came out of left field to me. Congress hasn't been informed of this decision. Congress needs to call the administration over like we did in Iraq and ask the Trump administration, what are you doing and why? The one thing I can assure everybody, that the Kurds are at risk. Our American personnel on the ground, aid workers and diplomats are at risk. We're going to be seen as having abandoned an ally. Good luck getting somebody to help you fight this war in the future. Iran's going to be really happy, and the ISIS folks have got a shot in the arm, and Turkey is licking their chops. If you're a Syrian Kurd today, it's a bad day for you. If you're an American who believes that we need to keep the war over there, not here, bad day for you. And I know the military commanders have advised the president that withdrawing this 2,200 force would create a lot of national security concerns for our country. And on top of the list is the jeopardy we put the Kurds in. They were with us when nobody else was. This, to me, is an Obama-like decision. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am, and I have no understanding of why we're doing this. To me, it is an ill-conceived idea. The downside is really great, and the upside is pretty small. The soldiers over there understand why they're over there protecting us. The soldiers, American soldiers over there, are a virtual wall against radical Islam coming here. Understand building a wall on the southern border to stop drugs and illegal immigration. We need to secure our border, but you can't build a wall between us and the Mideast. And our wall against radical Islam is our soldiers partnering with people like Kurds so they can't get here, and we keep the threat at bay. When you abandon a partner, it's like tearing down the wall. We don't have any protections against radical Islam other than our forces and our allies. And I choose to fight this war with other people, not by ourselves. This decision, if implemented, I think will be detrimental to our national security interests, devastating to the Kurds, a big day for Iran and ISIS.
Lindsey Graham. So Lindsey Graham, foreign policy guy, he's in the know, right? He's in the know. Jack Keane, who's a retired three-star general and you're going to hear him right now talking about this issue as it broke yesterday afternoon. I set these up earlier this morning, and when I hit them, guess what didn't happen? They didn't play. So now when you hit them, yeah, there's a Dell commercial. It's in the bag, almost. Your card is ready. Buy a Dell computer. I did. Mike McNamara. That's right. Here's General Keane. Oh, free shipping and free returns, just so you know. Extended holiday return policy. Good God. Are you kidding me? Make this stop.
Trump announcing a short time ago that General James Mattis will, quote, retire with distinction this February. That news comes on the heels of two very controversial foreign policy decisions made by...
Who the hell is going to take that job? Name anybody that's a conservative that believes leaving Afghanistan is the right thing to do.
President Trump, surprises in their timing, both of them. One, to pull thousands of U.S. troops out of Syria. The other today, that he will do the same essentially in Afghanistan. General Mattis releasing a copy of his resignation letter to the president that reads in part, "You have the right to have a Secretary of Defense whose views are better aligned with yours." Here now, General Jack Keane, four-star general, Fox News senior strategic analyst and chairman of the Institute for the Study of War. General, good to have you with us this evening. Your reaction to this news tonight.
Well, I'm certainly saddened to see Jim Mattis departing, but I also understand. I think the factors that are contributing to the resignation, maybe not all of it, but certainly are the decisions in Syria and Afghanistan. I did speak to Jim Mattis yesterday. We were both of one mind in our opposition to the decision to pull our forces out of Syria and what its ramifications would be. And I just want to say Jim's a tremendous officer, a tremendous leader, and the quality of the service that he's provided to our country is certainly very, very significant, and the American people are in his debt.
You just heard from Senator Schumer and from Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. She said she was shaken by this, and she felt that all Americans should be shaken by it. Do you agree?
No, I'm not shaken in the least by that. I think we're going to miss Jim Mattis's leadership, to be sure. But I've said many times, I think President Trump has managed to surround himself with one of the strongest national security teams I've ever observed. Jim Mattis was a very important part of that, but he's not the only part of it. And I'm confident the president will be able to find a successor who's very capable and will support the president's agenda and also disagree with him strongly when necessary.
Was any of this, do you believe, about the wall? You know, it feels like the decisions that the president has made really echo something he said all throughout the campaign, which was that he wanted to put America first, that national security was utmost in terms of topmost in his mind. And so he makes this decision to pull out of Syria, which he did say on the campaign trail he wanted to do. I know you very much disagree with it, and you're certainly not alone. Afghanistan, he also wanted to extract us from over time. Do you believe that he had conversations with the Defense Department, with General Mattis, saying, you know, I really want to put our focus there. I want you guys to help us build this wall if necessary.
I doubt that was an issue that would drive a decision like this, but I'm speculating. I mean, I haven't caught up to Jim yet. I will in the next day or so.
When you spoke with him yesterday, was there any wind that this was coming today?
To be honest, no. We were just consumed with the issues concerning Syria and what the implications of that were, you know, for the United States national interests, for the region writ large.
Do you believe this was his choice?
I accept it on face value that he submitted his resignation because that's what he wants to do. I don't know if there's some other reason involved here, but I don't think so.
Okay. Here's another piece of his letter that I just want to get your reaction to. He said, "My views on treating allies with respect and also being clear-eyed about both malign actors and strategic competitors are strongly held. We must do everything possible to advance an international order."
When he says clear-eyed about strategic actors, he's specifically talking about the president's treatment of Russia.
offer that is most conducive to our security, prosperity, and values, and we are strengthened in this effort by solidarity of our alliances. He seems to be disturbed by the president's attitude towards our allies.
Yeah, that may be a point of difference. I don't know because I'm not in those discussions. But I know and I have believed that the president, in terms of what he was doing in NATO and trying to strengthen NATO and get everybody to burden share properly, is the right course of action. I think going out and dealing with China and its malign and aggressive behavior in the Indo-Pacific and working with our allies is also the right decisions. And what he has done in the Middle East, his first visit was to Riyadh last July, 55 leaders in a room with him, when he said, I'm standing here with you, and I'm going to confront the Iranians with you and deal with their aggressive behavior as they've trampled over your interests and those of ours. And he also talked about Islamic extremism and how we need to get rid of it together. So I think, in a broad sense, I think they both agree on that. But there may be some specifics that I'm not aware of that they disagree. So I don't know why that comment is in there.
You talk about, obviously, there's a lot of changes. General Dunford is out. Milley is in. Your name has been mentioned. I will ask you if you would ever consider taking this post if it was offered to you to be the Secretary of Defense.
I have no plans to go back into public service, Martha.
And that's final.
That's final.
All right. General, thank you.
Jack Keane, you can see he doesn't use the words rocked or stunned, but you don't see him as downcast as he appears in this interview very often. I've never seen him like that in an interview. And again, the reason is because nobody can believe what the president did. And what do we do with a guy who doesn't understand the ramifications for America's national security, doesn't do this in conjunction with his own national security team, doesn't do this in conjunction with our allies and partners? What do you do with that guy? I mean, again, that's scary shit. Here's the letter of resignation, December 20th, 2018. Dear Mr. President, I've had the privilege to serve our country's 26 as our country's 26th Secretary of Defense, which has allowed me to serve alongside our men and women of the department in defense of our citizens and our ideals. I am proud of the progress that has been made over the past 2 years and some of the key goals articulated in our national defense strategy, putting the department on a more sound budgetary footing, improving readiness and lethality in our forces, and reforming the department's business practices for greater performance. Our troops continue to provide the capabilities needed to prevail in conflict and sustain strong U.S. global influence. Next paragraph. One core belief I have always held is that our strength as a nation is inextricably linked to the strength of our unique and comprehensive system of alliances and partnerships. While the U.S. remains the indispensable nation in the free world, we cannot protect our interest or serve that role effectively without maintaining strong alliances and showing respect to those allies. Like you, I have said from the beginning that the armed forces of the United States should not be the policemen of the world. Instead, we must use all tools of American power to provide for the common defense, including providing effective leadership to our alliances. NATO's 29 democracies demonstrated that strength in their commitment to fighting alongside us following the 9/11 attack in America. The defeat ISIS coalition of 74 nations is further proof. Similarly, I believe we must be resolute and unambiguous in our approach to those countries whose strategic interests are increasingly in tension with ours. The word is increasingly in tension with ours. It is clear that China and Russia, for example, want to shape a world consistent with their authoritarian model. gaining veto authority over the nation's economic, diplomatic, and security decisions to promote their own interests at the expense of their neighbors, America and our allies. That is why we must use all the tools of American power to provide for common defense. My views on treating allies with respect and also being clear-eyed about both malign actors, read Russia, and strategic competitors are strongly held and informed by over four decades of immersion in these issues. We must do everything possible to advance an international order that is most conducive to our security, prosperity, and values, and we are strengthened in this effort by the solidarity of our alliances. Because you have the right to have a Secretary of Defense whose views are better aligned with yours on these and other subjects, comma, I believe it is right for me to step down from my position. The end date of my tenure is February 28, 2019, a date that should allow sufficient time for a successor to be nominated and confirmed, as well as to make sure the department's interests are properly articulated and protected at upcoming events, to include congressional posture hearings and NATO defense ministerial meetings in February. Further, that a full transition to the new Secretary of Defense occurs well in advance of the transition of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in September in order to ensure stability within the department. I pledge my full effort to a smooth transition that ensures the needs and interests of the 2.15 million service members and the 732,079 DOD civilians receive undistracted attention of the department at all times so that they can fulfill their critical round-the-clock mission to protect the American people. I very much appreciate this opportunity to serve the nation and our men and women in uniform, James N. Mattis. So that's his resignation letter. The if you want some interesting reading, just look at reactions around the world to the 1-2 punch. First punch is a Twitter announcement that the United States is leaving Syria. Second, and again, and for those of you who listen to All Marine Radio on a regular basis, one of my favorite things to do is to play the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to play them in long format so that you can hear them articulate in more than a 30-second soundbite their vision for the South China Sea, what freedom of navigation means, how China should behave, or Afghanistan, the complexity of the issue, how the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. So I love to do that. When you listen to that, and especially at these things like we've listened to them at the Aspen Security Forum, a United States event. I want to say it's called the Shangri-La Dialogue, which is an Asian event. And when you watch the videos of these interviews, the last one was in Nova Scotia where the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs was. When you watch them, you see the respect that goes with these guys. All right. And in Mattis's case in particular, over his four decades, with his reputation, the work he's done with most of these different countries, the way he's received, the way he's respected, the way he articulates America, he is a different cat. And you see this reverence that's attached to him. And then just go ahead and read some of the articles that are being written around the world about this 1-2 stunning punch that the President of the United States has presented the rest of the world. And then go back to Nancy Pelosi's word, shaken, and that is entirely, even though General Keane would not use that, that word is entirely appropriate. What the fuck is the United States doing? What the fuck is Donald Trump doing? Who the fuck is he listening to if he's not listening to anybody on his national security staff? his fucking son-in-law? Who's he listening to? And other than tweets, he hasn't gone out to defend this. Snarky little bullshit. You know what? He reminds me of Don Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld. Snarky little bullshit tweets to respond to Lindsey Graham's very articulate discussion of the ramifications of this. And what are the ramifications? A friend of mine, Montana Man's dad, who's a Red Sox fan, sent me a link from the Wall Street Journal, written by a Marine by the name of Tommy Meyerson, who's now at, I can't remember what business school, Wharton maybe? I can't remember. He said, told me in a text. I can't remember. Anyway, I can only read part of the article because I don't spend the $500 a year to subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. The headline is, "The Cost of Betraying Serious Kurds." Subheadline, "A U.S. pullout would have catastrophic humanitarian consequences and cause harm to U.S. interests." I'll read you the first paragraph. "I returned this year for military service in northeast Syria, where the U.S. has supported local Kurdish, Arab, and Syriac Christian militias in a grim campaign to dislodge the Islamic State. Now refugees are returning to their homes, and locals are starting to rebuild after 5 years of fighting and nightmarish ISIS rule. In most places, I was greeted by civilians thankful for the U.S. presence. I'll never forget the little girl who ran up in a recent liberated market town and hugged my leg, refusing to let go." Yeah, if you have the full edition, send it to me. Send it to me. I can only read the first paragraph. So that's simply the humanitarian shit on the ground. Okay? "We hand Syria to Russia and Iran, strengthening Iran's hand. So now, with the United States out of the way, Syria unencumbered, Iran unencumbered, what's next?" Okay. I'd have to think for about what? A grand total of 1.2 seconds? Israel, of course. Right? Right. Israel. That's going to be a low-intensity conflict, right? Wrong? The United States won't get involved in that, will they? Yes, they will. So, as I sit here today, the father of two Marines, my oldest is a captain. I will tell you today that my son, John, is going to fight in a much larger war than I participated in because of this kind of stupid shit. Unsettling is just a start, and then anger after that. All the work, all the lives, right, to get these things to be manageable problems. And then we have presidents of the United States who do nothing but fuck it up. You go to war for political reasons. At the end of the fighting is when the heavy lifting begins. Now you've got to fashion something that you fought for. We have 2,000 military people in Syria. 2,000. And he says, fuck it, I'm out, after a conversation with Turkey. It's, you know, it's beyond stunning. Beyond stunning. And again, after the announcement, you kept waiting for, okay, somebody, where's Pompeo? Where's Bolton? Where are the two of them? Where's the Secretary of Defense? Where's the chairman? Somebody give us a footnote. Somebody make sense of this for us. Cricket, 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 cricket. The silence yesterday was deafening. And I said it in the, yesterday morning. We'll see who resigns over this. Because let me tell you this. Flipping it upside over on the Secretary of Defense. Yeah, that shit. That dog doesn't hunt. Okay? And I will tell you this. He's had to endure the stupidity of Donald Trump. Right? Got the confrontation thing with China, you know? Yeah. The constant belittling of our allies. And again, and I would take it to Germany too. But what do you owe them? You owe them to go there in private, put them on notice, and say, look, if this doesn't begin to happen, I'm going to put you on blast, just so you know. I did it in the campaign. I come here to tell you that I'm serious about it, right? To conduct business like a grown-up, not like a juvenile. But again, I mean, everybody's spending more in NATO. Is that in response to Donald Trump, or is that in response to Vladimir Putin? Good question. Good question. But anyway, second and third order effects. So you hand it to Iran and Russia, American influence decreased in the region. What do the Saudis have to say about this? Our great friends in the region. You're leaving? What? And now we're contemplating something similar in Afghanistan. We fought, and now, you know, the thing in Afghanistan is still a bigger problem, because you're trying to develop the capabilities of the Afghans. And you're trying to keep our own casualties down and keep the cost of it down. But that's what we signed up to do. And so watching this, to me, is so disturbing. Who's making the decisions? That guy? And he's going to change the future of the planet on his own? God help us, man. God help us, every single one of us. I mean, you could hear the corks popping in Tehran yesterday, in Moscow, Vladimir Putin praising him. And so the question is, why? 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 Why would we hand this to Russia and their interest? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And so, you know, like I say, yesterday was one of the most disturbing days of my life. I've never, in my entire life, even on September 11th, I didn't know who did it, but I knew we'd get them. I knew we'd go to war, and I knew we'd kick their ass. I knew we'd find them. I was certain of that. But the last 48 hours is like the world flipping upside down and our nation shrinking from what it does, which is be the leader of the free world. And I think it's horrible. In my opinion, get that guy out of office yesterday. Mike Pence can execute all the same policies, right? Our economic confrontation with China, our military confrontation with them in the South China Sea. He can repair the Pacific Alliance, right? He can negotiate trade deals. Trump, to me, this is clown-like stuff. Clown-like stuff. And again, I'm wondering, is it all eyewash to generate headlines to get away from the investigation that seems to be closing in on him? Is that what it is? Oh, Mac, how could you say that? Wah, 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 wah. Extremely disturbing. And only made more so by the fact that, you know, I know personally. In fact, I have their cell phone numbers, right? Secretary of Defense's cell phone number in my phone. You know them, you know what kind of people they are, and you felt better because those men of service, intelligence, and integrity had a seat at the table. So Who's gonna replace the Secretary of Defense that doesn't have similar views? The other thing I will tell you, and look for this, right? Look for this in the coming future. What we're doing down on the border with the military that's still there, is bordering on illegal. So stick that one in your hat too. Right? Stick that one in your hat too. So who, every name that you hear mentioned that might be the next Secretary of Defense, Jack Keane said no. Right? But Jack Keane's views are Jim Mattis's views. Senator Tom Cotton? Both have the same views on these issues as Secretary Mattis. So, anyway, a disturbing day to say the least. I think for anybody who cares about, one, for anybody who cares about the country. What? Two, if you fought for this country in either one of the last two wars, the failure to win the peace is extremely disturbing. And Barack Obama, I'm consistently critical of him because of his failures and his weaknesses. And now Donald Trump, who bashed Barack Obama, is going to do the exact same thing. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And let me tell you, and the next nation or group that throws in with us is stupid. Because we do this, right? It seems like with routine, America's word is shit. America's word is shit. And people get whacked because of it. Yeah, the Kurds. And we've been talking about this for months. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? So I don't know what President Erdogan said that scared the shit out of Donald Trump and had him drop the phone and get on his Twitter account and say, hey, we're out. Guy said he was going to kick my ass and I didn't know what to say. But I'll tell you what, I mean, and now it's done right before Christmas and all the rest of that. So they can't hold hearings quick enough. Who's going to testify? The President of the United States? Who's going to go down and carry his water there? It'll be interesting theater to watch, eh? But let me yesterday, just a sad, sad, pathetic day. And I could feel it in my bones yesterday morning. Because he's not that guy. And to me, what the President of the United States, Donald Trump, is looking for is he looks for bobbleheads. Guys who will sit there and their heads go up and down. Yes, Mr. Trump. Yes, Mr. Trump. Yes, Mr. Trump. Yes, Mr. Trump. And if you don't do that, he shows your ass the door. And that's probably the way that he's run his own businesses. And the circle can't be too big because of the way he does business. It's got to be relatively small. And look, I think that Michael Cohen, he's a piece of shit, right? Do you think everything Michael Cohen said is a lie? I think part of what Michael Cohen said is a lie. I think the vast majority of it, though, is the truth. And we've all been watching, and I'll speak for everybody, I think, who's a conservative, who hoped that Donald Trump would be something. When you part ways with guys like John Kelly, with guys like Jim Mattis, that is not good for the United States of America. Because they are honest, truthful, hardworking public servants, and they give a shit. So it goes. We'll get the chef here and we'll talk about it. But again, from the way it was done to the lack of consultation with our allies to the second and third order effects of that policy, then to the resignation of the Secretary of Defense. Not a good day for the United States of America. Not a good day. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. As I said before, don't be afraid to say a prayer for your country. More of All Marine Radio coming up next here on a Friday edition. Don't touch that dial.
Hark the herald angels sing.
Meditation music.
The newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful.
I'm doing my breathing exercises.
Rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem.
All right, we'll be back. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led into Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.